Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. Hello friends, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly. Beginning Sunday, January the 8th at 6 p.m., we'll begin holding evangelistic services at Old Paths Tabernacle. These services are an outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like old-fashioned singing and preaching and a revival atmosphere, I'm sure you'll enjoy attending these services. To kick things off, I'll be doing an in-depth, verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. You know that I love teaching the types in the Old Testament, but I'm looking forward to studying the fulfillment of those types, which of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Old Paths Tabernacle will be meeting in the Fellowship Hall of Old Metairie Protestant Church, 1301 Metairie Road, here in Metairie, at the corner of Metairie Road and Conifer Boulevard, which is right across from the Shell station. Services are at 6 p.m. Sunday evenings only. I hope to see you there. But if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Obadiah. Man, nobody preaches out of Obadiah. Nobody can find Obadiah. Tell you what, I'll help you out. If you forgot your Bible today, today's a good day. I'll read the one verse. Obadiah, verse 17. "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions." And flipping back a few books to the book of Joel, if I can find the verse, it's the same idea. Verse 32 of Joel chapter 2. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word, and I desperately, desperately seek your help to preach it. I don't want to be up here like Dr. Sounding Brass. I don't want to tell the people what I know or think I know. Can't tell them about my degrees because I don't have any, but if they hear me and my thoughts are heard, then really we've wasted time. But I want, as the bishop says, the preacher to come. I want the Holy Spirit to move. I want Jesus himself, again by the agent of the Holy Spirit, to come and walk these aisles and through these pews or chairs. I want the Spirit of God to touch the hearts of those listening. And as I always or oftentimes say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I don't care about me. I don't care about anything. I want to see Jesus. I want him to be glorified. And Lord, we thank you for that and praise you for that. You know that I've been preaching about deliverance. And I want to say, brother, thank you. I appreciate seeing you today.
Yes.
In the back there. Been preaching about deliverance. You know that I've been in 2 Kings. I preached here or there besides. This is one of those other besides, I guess. Not necessarily going to be in that book, but still the same topic, that of deliverance. We can read in the Gospels, and when I think about them, some of the passages, I could pitch a tent and live there for the rest of my life. You see, I was a sinner, I got saved, and that day was glorious. The next day, and I've told this story, when I woke up the next day, I was afraid. Instantly, when my eyes opened, I was afraid, was it a dream? But then the Spirit of God moved again in my heart. And it was such a relief, such a relief. Again, my head still on the pillow. Such a relief to know that it wasn't a dream and that the Lord had come into my life and changed me. Yes. Delivered me from drugs. Delivered me from having to hang out in bars. Yes. I realized that there wasn't nothing in the bar for me to go seek. Amen. Hallelujah. Deliverance. Deliverance. And I started attending church and then started attending another church, and it seemed like every question I ever had, the preacher, every Sunday, it seemed like he was answering my questions. It seemed like his sermons were prepared just for me. In a church of 5,000, I thought the preacher was preaching to me. And again, I've been saved a long time. I've been walking with the Lord and trusting Him and seeking Him and holding onto His hand for a long time. But it seems the longer I serve Him and the more that I study His Word, the more I find. Again, in some of the Gospels, it's just amazing. And I could teach and teach and teach all day on some of the things that I find in the Gospels. And I see Christ and He's glorified. And again, I'm so happy for that. I'm reminded, and again, I preached that here in Ezekiel chapter 47, when the man with the line in his hand, it may have been Christ, I don't know, some angel, I don't know. But it took the prophet into the river that was flowing from the throne of God, from the temple of God. And it had its origin at the right side of the brazen altar. The river is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The brazen altar, we know, is a type of Christ. We know that the sacrifice is there continually. It spoke of Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus' blood was shed for the sins of the world. And again, I'm so happy for that. So happy again that I'm saved. Hallelujah. That Jesus took time for me. Hallelujah. But that river that flowed in that chapter, chapter 47, we find the same river in other places. For instance, in the last chapter, or was it the chapter before that, of the book of Revelation, it talks about the river that flowed from God's throne. And on either side of the river there were 12 trees, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. But that river, again, that the prophet was taken through by the man with the line in his hand. He started at the bank. They went 1,000 cubits, about a quarter mile. The water was to the ankles. Then another quarter mile to the knees. Another quarter mile to the loins. And then another quarter mile. In other words, a mile into that river. We have a great river, the River Mississippi here. It's about 3/4 or maybe a mile across. If you get on the bridge and you look at your tachometer or what have you, you understand that it's about nearly a mile. But then you're on the other side. But this river was larger than that. They went maybe not even halfway, or maybe not even a tenth of the way. I don't know how large the river was. But they went from the bank into the river. But at one point, again, a mile into it, the prophet says that, hey, I can't touch bottom anymore. It's waters to swim in. I remember when I first got saved, I found a church. I thought it was a half-decent church, I suppose, and the Lord blessed me. But I remember about 6 or 8 months into my walk with God, they had Sunday school, and I was always, you know, first one on the property and etc. And I remember I'd gotten my coffee and my donut or whatever, and I was, it had a balcony, and the classrooms were on the balcony, and again, this was outside overlooking the parking lot. And I remember standing at the railing with my donut and my coffee and saying, Lord, I hope I don't outgrow this. Because I had figured out what that denomination taught. I had understood the doctrines. I gobbled it up. But I felt that, well, I've just about got to the end of it. Lord, please don't help me outgrow this. But again, that prophet that was taken by that angel or by Christ or whatever or whoever it was, he found that it was waters to swim in. You can't outrun God. You can't go past God. His ways are unsearchable. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, etc. God has more for you. Wherever you think you are in your Christian life, and if you have the unfortunate testimony of thinking that I've arrived, let me tell you, you haven't. You haven't. God has more for you. But these two verses that I've read, I like this one in Joel. It says the same thing, but a little bit more. It says about deliverance. There's deliverance in Mount Zion. But it says, and it should come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In talking about deliverance, there's nothing that God cannot do. Yesterday, in preparing for the sermon, or was it this morning or something, I was singing a little song that maybe we've probably forgotten. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. And it's probably taken from the Psalms or something. There's nothing too hard for God. I don't care what you are going through or what you're going to go through next week or what you went through a couple of years ago. It doesn't matter. God is greater than your situation. We remember Peter. Jesus walked on the water. And Peter says, how you like that? Lord, bid me to come. I'm a little scared, but if you call me, I might go, you know. And the Bible says that Jesus called him and said, come on. And Peter plopped out. 1 foot, another foot, a few more feet. I'm walking on the water.
Yeah.
Man, there's that big wave. Oh no, I'm going to sink. Watch. And he did. Lord, save me, he said. And obviously the Lord saved him. And everybody gets down on Peter because he sank. Yeah, but the other 11 disciples were still in the boat hanging on for dear life. I'm trying to say something. I'm trying to get something across. I believe in deliverance. I believe that if you have AIDS, Jesus can heal you. I believe if you're hooked on crack, and they tell me one hit and you're hooked for life, God can deliver you. I don't care if you're, for somehow, some way, you find yourself in some terrible circumstance. Jesus can deliver you. Again, I was a drug addict. Jesus delivered me. I was hooked on marijuana. There's no question about it. If somebody had it, I couldn't resist. I had to have it. Maybe I wasn't on coke or anything like that, but I know about that monkey. And afterwards I would say, man, I can't believe I smoked that stuff again. I hate it. I don't like what it does to my head. I'm over here in LSU trying to study and it messes with my brain. And I know people are looking at me weird and I don't like this stuff. But if Fred reached up underneath the couch, something in me said, I've got to have that. But again, that one day that Jesus came into my life, I knew within 5 minutes I was delivered.
Thank God. Yes.
So I'm here to tell you that you can be delivered. I've experienced it. Others maybe here can testify. And the Bible says it again and again and again and again, yes, that Jesus can deliver you. And these little obscure verses here in the prophets, in the minor prophets, and who even reads Obadiah, much less preach out of it? But there's deliverance out of Mount Zion. And that Zion, I don't want to get too far into it, but that's where the praises of God were. That's where the presence of God was. And I know that the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. That may be a mountain way off in Israel, but you can have Mount Zion in your heart.
That's right.
You can praise the
Amen.
Lord in your heart. You can worship the Lord in your heart. Jesus said that it's times now that you should worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
That's right.
You should have a praise in your heart and on your lips for what Jesus did for you. If He saved you from sin, that's enough to shout for the rest of your
Amen.
Life and the rest of the next life. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
God. Yes.
If He's ever helped you in any other thing, then when you get into another jam, you can remember, I know what God did for
Amen.
Me back there. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. But, yes, God delivers. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. There's deliverance. I remember in the Gospels it says that Jesus went to one town, I forget the name. Nobody cared. Nobody believed. They all sat on the pew and sat on their hands and or maybe they folded their arms and had a horrible expression on their face. They didn't believe. And the Bible says that God, come in the flesh, couldn't perform many miracles in that town because of unbelief. Unbelief. The Jews, the nation of Israel, was broken off because of unbelief. Unbelief is something you should get out of your life. You should believe the Bible. I have contact with a number of people around the world through the internet. And we talk on any number of subjects. I'm a computer guy. We talk a lot about computers. But in other contexts, we talk about the Bible. We talk about the things of God. And I had a conversation, or really an argument, just a few days ago. There was one guy, he was saying, you know, I've got this problem and I want God to help me. And I jumped right in and said, well, look, Jesus can deliver you. You know? And this other guy, he said, well, you know, I don't believe that God heals today, or I don't, you know that tired story.
Yeah.
Well, I'm here to testify that I don't think that man will ever be healed, because he doesn't believe. But this other brother, he was struggling with some kind of sin and didn't want to do it no more. And I said, hey, God can help you.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord, and He'll deliver you. Trust in God. Look to Him. And God certainly doesn't want you to live in habitual sin. God doesn't want you to live in defeat. There's great victory that's shown to us in the Bible. Great deliverance. Great relief. The word salvation in some contexts in Hebrew means to be open and free. In other words, a great field where you can go and run and do or whatever you want and nobody's going to bother you. I live in a city that there's too much going on and way too much sin. And I want to go live in the country, and that's just a fact. I want to be open and free. I'm tired of being constricted. But when I went down to Haiti, and probably these things are all knocked down because of the earthquake, but I went a few times before the earthquake, it seemed to me, if you've ever raised rabbits or maybe understand what that's about, you have rabbits, that's fine, they're in little cages, but the cages are all wired together, and they call it a warren. You get this little 2x2 little box or whatever, a cage, and you got another one and another one, and you got a whole lot of rabbits and a whole lot of little cages. But they're crammed one on top of the other. I saw people like that in Haiti. Practically, it reminded me of an overcrowded rabbit warren. Too many people in one place. I could tell the story, and was told the story many times, how in a certain place in City Soleil in Haiti, it's so crowded. And really, if you want to call it a house, they find a couple of sticks, 3 or 4 sticks, stick them in the ground. They put a piece of rotten tin that somebody had thrown away over the top, and they may find a rotten bed sheet and kind of drape it around. And it's smaller than your bathroom. It's like 8 feet by 8 feet, maybe. And that's a house. I mean, that's terrible. And again, there's a place I'm thinking of that there was 1,000 houses, if you want to call them, 1,000. So crowded, so many people, 8-10 people trying to sleep in one little house. They have to sleep in shifts. Think of that. One guy gets up after sleeping a few hours, somebody else grabs the mat he was on and he goes to sleep. And I guess I chased that rabbit a little bit too far, but God has deliverance. But my topic today is faith. You must believe. He that cometh to God must first believe that He is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The man that says, well, I'm not sure if it's real, and, you know, evolution and psychology and science, and, well, that man's not going to be saved. That man's not going to be healed. That God's just not going to be able to do anything for that man. Now, God may, out of His mercy, reach down and somehow do something for the man, but probably not. You have to seek. You have to ask, seek, and knock, the Bible says. God has all of these promises. And remember, God sent His own Son to die for you, that whosoever will. You have to make a decision to be one of those whosoever's that wills. You have to choose to avail yourself of the promises of the Bible. I guess we could take a walk through Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm sure that everyone's read that chapter. But it lists some in detail of how God delivered them and the things that they suffered and what have you. But it talks of those that were sawn apart and beheaded and all of these things that happened to them. Well, that's terrible. I mean, that's, I guess in today's vernacular, that's persecuting of Christians. Not that anybody cares. They do it in all these countries in Africa and what have you. But you see, it says that Abraham was looking for a city. Abraham was looking for a city. And this was long before, well, this is in Genesis. This was long before the temple. This is long before the land of Canaan. It's long before the apostles. It's long, long, long before. He was in the desert, wandering around in the desert, trying to follow God. There wasn't anything. And we've seen pictures of the desert and caravans, and that's what they did. He traveled on a camel, probably. There wasn't anything. There wasn't no strip malls or Walmart or nothing. It's just nothing. But it says that he was looking for a city. God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave your family, leave your friends, leave your pagan worship, leave your in-laws, hallelujah, and go to a city in a land that I'll show you. And he walked around in the land of Canaan, and I understand that, but he didn't have a city. Now, maybe his grandson or something like that, they started to build the land of Israel. I understand that. But he didn't get anything. All he got was a piece of paper, a deed, that's all. But he, the Bible says, and Jesus said of Abraham, that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it, and he was glad. He saw by faith. He saw not with his eyes, but he saw in his heart. Mm-hmm. He saw in his heart the promises of God. And how does that relate to deliverance? Let's say you are hooked on drugs. Or let's say your brat kid is hooked on drugs. Or whatever this case. The man's coming to take the car and repossess it, or whatever the issue is. Don't look with your eyes. Look with your heart. I can't tell you what God's going to do, but if you trust Him, God will move on your behalf. If you trust Him. If you faint, well, maybe not. But you need to believe. Again, there's great deliverance. As we've been studying in 2 Kings, there's great deliverance. The next time that I preach here, I'll tell about Naaman and how God delivered him from his leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease. We have cures for it now, I understand. It's some bacteria and they found how to take care of it. But back then there was no cure. And the arm or whatever would get infected and eventually rot off. But Naaman went down into the Jordan seven times.
Amen.
At the command of God, and God healed him. It says in the text that his skin, instead of diseased and infected, God made it whole. God made his skin like a baby's skin. This arm might have had scars or whatever we was in battle, but this arm, nothing. Like a baby's skin. God can do it. God can deliver. Again, nothing is too difficult for thee. The little song says that I quote. You can put your trust in God and God will help you. Again, I can't tell you what he's going to do. I can't make any promises of my own. I don't understand how God moves, but God can deliver you in his way. It may involve some suffering. Again, that's part of the gospel. But if you'll trust him, he'll bring you through. But you have to trust. And you have to call upon the name of the Lord. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Praise God for your precious word. Thank God for deliverance. Help us to trust you and help us when we have difficulties or troubles to come and bring all our needs to the altar. Help us to look to you and depend upon you and not what the neighbor says or the politician or anything, but to trust in Jesus Christ. Please help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.